I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Coming up, a Brazilian singer slows things down. First, we answer our geoquiz today. We're looking for the battleground of a decisive English victory over the French in the Hundred Years' War. Historians today have a better understanding of the men who fought that battle. That's because the service records of 250,000 medieval soldiers are now online, including some who fought at the Battle of Agincourt in northern France. And that's the answer to our geoquiz today, Agincourt. Anne Curry is a medieval historian at the University of Southampton in England. She's one of the two scholars who put all this detailed information online.
I think you've got to remember that the English have always been a very bureaucratic people, and when they invade France in 1415, the army is all paid. So what we have really is war according to accountants. They want to make sure that they're getting the service they're paying for. So they make lists of names of men-at-arms and of archers.
So you have the lists of names of the soldiers, you have the lists of their salary?
Well, we know that the archers were paid 6 old pence a day and the men-at-arms were paid 1 shilling a day.
Okay, so
they were paid twice as much as the archers.
Why were they paid twice as much?
Because they usually had horses to provide, but also they had more equipment. The archers didn't have armour. The men-at-arms are the classic people you see in pictures. You know, they've got the full plate armour, the helmets and everything. They would have had servants with them too, so they were paid for all of these additional expenses, really.
What weapon would they use, the men-at-arms?
They would use lances, which were kind of long spear-like things. They'd have had swords. They'd have had maces, those sort of ball-like things with spikes sticking out of them, various things for sort of stabbing people, trying to knock them down, that kind of thing.
And it's interesting that the men-at-arms got paid about twice as much as the archers when it's the archers who basically won the day.
That's true, but the archers are no good, just one or two of them. You need them en masse. You need them all to be shooting their bows simultaneously.
That's what they had.
Yeah, and don't forget, the men-at-arms are the ones who have to engage hand-to-hand with the French, so they're the ones more likely to get killed, so there's kind of risk element in this.
Can you describe that then? Because you're saying there were the English were way outnumbered. The French were very well armed. There were about 5,000 archers, and they're using this English longbow, as you described in the quiz. It's like 4 feet long and pulled back to the ear.
Over 6 feet long.
Why is that such a force to be reckoned with?
Well, if you think about it, you could never train a soldier to walk into arrow fire. You couldn't do it. And so, therefore, the French approached the English army, and they met with this great hailstorm of arrows, probably 200 yards, 100 yards. It's very difficult for them to resist, and some of them would have been killed as they advanced.
All right. Now, it's all so interesting, the way the war was fought back then, this 100 years war. And now that it's online, what else is there to be learned about the war or those who fought it?
What we've been able to do is we've covered the whole period from 1369 to 1453, and we've been able to see people with long careers. Perhaps you might like one example. It's somebody who started his career as an archer at the Siege of St. Malo in 1378. And he's interesting because we know at that point he was 16 years old. So what's coming out of our project is people began their military careers at a very young age, 12, 14, 16, and they would go on. In this case, he went on until he was well into his 40s. So we're seeing these professional soldiers. And the man I'm talking about, Robert Fishlake, actually started as an archer. By the time he got to his last command in 1404, he's a man-at-arms. He's been promoted.
Now, I find it interesting. A lot of our listeners, I think, will. But I wonder, what does it mean for you?
Well, it's the sort of culmination of a lifetime achievement. I started this with my PhD in the 1970s. In those days, I was putting the names onto file cards. It was impossible to process them. Just shows how much technology can contribute to the study of medieval history. It shows us so much more about these people in the past. They come alive. We found one muster roll where we have two men of the same name, for instance, and one of them, it says, with the beard. So we can sort of see how they were trying to distinguish two different people. So it gives us a tremendous insight into the way people sort of thought and the way people operated at that point in time. So it's very important.
All right. Very nice to find out about the database. As we said, it's online right now. It's medievalsoldier.org. We'll make a link on our website, theworld.org. Ann Curry, Professor of Medieval History at the University of Southampton. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.